tonight if you can. If you're sick or if you need some rest, praise God, take the rest. But if you're a leader, I've got a really good message on leadership tonight. It'll help you be a better one, a teacher, a better Sunday school teacher, better pastor, better preacher, better leader at work. Amen. If you want to do that, come on, be. And if you want to be led, well, so I'm not a leader. If you want to find out how to be led, come and hear that tonight. Are y'all ready to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Are you ready for a word? I need a word. Amen. I'm preaching a little mad this morning, to be honest with you. Somebody said, you shouldn't preach mad. It's a spiritual mad. It's not a fleshly mad. I'm mad because I get Gene filled in for me Wednesday, but the devil took a little bit of time from me. I was going to go see my dad on Tuesday, and I didn't get to do that, so I'm a little bit mad about that because my body was failing a little bit because of the sickness. Amen. And then you don't get to study as much when you're sick and don't feel good. So I'm a little mad at the devil today. Amen. So he let me breathe a little bit today. The Lord did. Gave me a little more strength, so I think I might take a little back. Amen. God, I wish we got any fighters in here. I mean, say, you ever been? I'm not much of a fighter. I'm not. But if you punch me in the nose, you're gonna have to fight me. Amen. If you punch me in the nose, now I'm going to try to talk my way out of it. I'm going to try to be peaceful. I'm going to try to forgive. But if you punch me in the nose, me and we're going to wrestle, son. And I'm going to bite you. I'm going to pinch you. I'm going to poke you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm a dirty fighter. And so what do you mean? That ain't good. I don't even know if there's any rules to a real fight. Don't seem like there is. So I'm going to fight a little bit today, if you don't mind. I'm going to preach to you a word. I've been in Hebrews for a couple of weeks or a couple of days now, and I've seen it. And Hebrews are Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians. Have you ever had a hard time being a Christian? Don't lie. Have you ever had a hard time being a Christian? I mean, you got saved, and you're supposed to be spiritual, and you're supposed to climb high walls and run through a troop. Amen? But every once in a while you struggle. The Hebrews are the whole book of Hebrews is about some Christians who got saved and was having a hard time because they had come out of a legalistic system where they had a little bit of control, but it seemed like now that they were out of control. And this whole letter talks about don't give up on your faith. That's the whole book of Hebrews, is don't give up on your faith. What you got in you is better than what's on the outside of you. Some of y'all should have wrote that down. That's just good. What you got on the inside is better than what's on the outside if you're saved. If you've got Jesus, you've got something going on the inside of you that will last for eternity. That's what Paul was telling them. Don't give up when the temporal's going by, because you got a long time eternal coming. And that's good. Sometimes I need to be reminded that just because things aren't going my way, they are going my way because I'm saved. Some of y'all need to get your mind right on that, because we'll almost give up and give out instead of letting God have His way and glorify Him through it. Can I preach to you this morning? I'm trying. Amen. Listen to this verse 11. Listen to what he tells them. I'm trying to get to verse 12, but I can't get up to verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Do you hear what he's saying? Let's labor to get into that rest. I mean, let's work to rest. Let's work like crazy to get into this rest. How many of you are saved this morning? I mean, saved to the uttermost. If you died right now, you wouldn't bust hell wide open. You would be a resident of glory. Is anybody in here like that? Amen. Okay, guess what? You've entered into that rest. Remember, before you got saved, you didn't ever have any rest in your heart. You was always worried about some fear, death, anxiety, pain, heart, always bitter, always had something against somebody. You was always a perpetual victim. And God saved you. Amen. That God saved you. And everything that you were working for is settled in your soul. We labored, we worked like crazy to make right with God, but we couldn't ever make right with Him. Anybody in here ever like me? Did anybody try to suffice God and find out you couldn't suffice Him in other way except for believing in His Son, Jesus Christ? I remember when I'd say things like this, I'm trying to do better. You ever tried that? I'm trying. I'm going to do better. God don't want you to do better. Amen? He wants to get in you and make you better. Write this down. It's an inside job. Christianity's an inside job. If God don't get in you, He can't work through you. I tried to go to church. Church is like a roller coaster ride. It is. I don't want to make it unspiritual, but it's like a roller coaster ride. You don't have to be a certain height to get on the ride, but anybody can ride the church ride. Amen? You just find you a seat, sit down, and when you start going a certain way, raise your hands, praise. And if you don't, hold on tight. God, I'm preaching. Y'all just don't even know it. And you go up and you go down, and some scream, some don't. Some shout, some don't. Some are excited, some are scared out of their mind. You go around and round and up and down, and next thing you know, you come to a stop, and everybody gets off, and some are better for it, and some are the same. God, can I keep preaching? That's pretty good, ain't it? Can I keep preaching right there? Some will come back and ride again. And some will say, I'll never, ever, ever, ever show up there again. Some of y'all might be thinking about that this morning, this church service. Some of y'all going, I ain't never going to come up there again. Well, good. We're going to give you everything we got today. Well, we're going to pull the cup out on you today. I don't care. Remember this ride for the rest of your life. I remember Peyton when he was about 8, 9 years old. He got on the Tennessee Tornado with me. I thought he had lost his mind because the kid don't like heights and he don't like to go fast. But all of a sudden, he's standing in line with me. And he got on the ride, and we're riding down through there, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, I can't believe he's on this ride. I went, Peyton, are you serious? He said, it's too late now, Dad. And we rode, and we went and up and down and all around, and then we came back to the spot where you could see the big loop, and me and him are standing there, and he looked up, and I said, man, you just done that. You know what he said? At the age of 8, somewhere in there, he looks at me and he goes, I'm going to have a talk with myself. How'd I get up there? I'll never do it again. I ain't done it since. I'm going to have a talk with myself. Some of you are going to have a talk with yourself. Find out if you're ever going to get back on the ride again. I hope you come back every Sunday. But praise God, if you don't, you're going to remember it because we talk to Him all the time. Remember that, right? Yeah, I remember it. But I ain't never going to do it again. Amen? Do you have that peace? Let's get into the Word. This is so good, I can't even help myself. For the Word of God, this snuck up on me this week. I knew it was there, but for the Word of God is quick. That word's deceiving in the King James. Quick means living. This might not mean nothing to you, but it means the world to me. The Bible, the Word actually means God breathed. God breathed the message. He breathed the 66 page love letter, a 66 chapter love letter to you. God sat down and breathed a love letter to you that gave you all the answers to life and said, if you'll read this, it'll change who you are. Amen? It's alive. You know how I know the Word of God's alive? So no matter what season, what time of my life, good, bad, up, down, in, out, good season, bad season, full of fruit or empty, God's Word is right on time. It's perfect. Have you ever said this? I know we've all said it. Man, this thing, the Word of God, is different now. This chapter's different. It ain't. You are. Amen? It ain't. You are. You come into that season and all of a sudden you look at that scripture you've looked at 1,000 times. It didn't mean a whole lot to you, but all of a sudden now it means the world to you because you're going through a different season in your life. And all of a sudden the words, God, I'm preaching, man, it's good. God breathed them for you. Man, I feel sorry for a Christian who don't read their Bible because you're missing all the answers. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to get on to you. I'm not going to say you need to. I'm just saying you're. I remember, man, I hate to tell myself, but I was in school, back before technology, we had a thing called love letters. God, I love those things. Especially for the girls who could fold them up 100 different ways. Man, it was like, you're going into that thing, you're like, oh, is it going to be yes or no? Heaven forbid if it's a maybe. Never mind. How many of you ever got a love letter from somebody you loved and you read it over and over and over? Amen? That's what this is. God's telling you who He is. Who you are. I'll say it again. Who He is. Who you are. Who He wants you to be. Who He can make you. And what He wants to do with you for eternity. God's in there. Everything's in there. He wants to show you how to have a better life. Some of y'all are sitting there trying to figure out life. You're figuring it out without the instruction book. It's a living word. It's good. Powerful. Can I read the whole scripture? Which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul, the spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and as a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. That sound good? Can I boil all that down into one word to help everybody that don't get a bunch of words sometimes? Can I boil it all down to one word? Judge. The Word of God is like a judge. Who jumps down in the center of your brain or your heart, amen, and all of a sudden starts dividing your spiritual man and your physical man on two sides. He's like a sword. He's like a sharp sword, the sharpest sword that's ever been around. He jumps down into you like this morning, like when you hear the Word of God being preached, He enters into your mind, into your conscience, and all of a sudden He starts separating your fleshly man from your spiritual man. You ever felt that? Anybody experienced that? And what He does is He reaches people on a level that nobody else can reach through this Word. That's why people get saved. That's why people get changed just from listening to the Word of God. Because it's that good. Amen? The judge comes in and he can take a murderer on death row. He can take a murderer on death row. So we don't want to believe that. We don't like that. But do you know God can knock on the door of a murderer on death row and come into his heart and his mind and lay aside the physical man who is a murderer and wake up the spiritual man who's just as saved as you are? Did you know that? Did you know that? It happens all the time. You just don't hear about it very much. It happens all the time. God, you know what? Some people, I'm not saying God put them in the situation, but God doesn't give up on people. We do. There's some radical Christian right now, some woman or some man, who's radical out of their mind today. And you know what they're doing? They're trying to get into some maximum security prison just to tell some woman or some man about Jesus. They're not getting no money. They're not getting any special benefits. They're walking in. They're going to go into the worst of the worst. They're going to wade through the cursing, the violence, the death, the threats, the things that's been slung at them, the lies that's been told about them, and all the other stuff, all the political corruptness and all that. And they're going to walk back to a cell and sit down in front of a man or a woman and say, Jesus loves you. And that woman who's a murderer, that woman who's killed their kids, that woman who's got a DUI, that person that's on death row, listen, guess what? They're going to remember when they were a little kid and they used to come to Sunday school, or they used to come to Awana, or they used to be drove to church. They're going to remember when their mom said that Jesus is good. They're going to remember when their teacher said it was good. They're going to remember when their pastor, that crazy man, stood up there and said, Jesus is good. And guess what? Jesus has not forsook them in any part of their life. Ever dope house, ever prostitution ring, ever situation when they were walking, when they knew they shouldn't have went with those friends that they went with, and the thing went further than they thought it was going to go. Amen, preacher. And guess what? Even when the darkest days of their life on the place that they had never think that God would come after them, God will come after you. Man, that's a shouter. Some of y'all don't even know this yet because you're still running from God. You don't know this, but God, He will not forsake you. You'll have to stand before a loving God, a saving God, and say, I rejected you on every turn of my life because He will not stop. Some man or some woman or some child in here knows that to be true. You've been running from God, but you're finding out that it's pretty hard. It's like hide and go seek with air. He's everywhere. The addicted. Have you ever seen somebody addicted get saved? I ran around with the lost people before and they'll say, nobody on heroin gets saved. Yeah, they do. Shut your mouth. Nobody on meth gets saved. Yeah, they do. Shut up. No real alcoholic gets saved. Yes, they do. Shut up. Whew. See, you're pretty blunt. I said, sometimes because I don't like dumb stuff being said around me. Amen? I've got everybody in my contact list. Just about 80% of my friends on the face of this earth right now are formerly addicted people. Some of the most blessed people I got. Guess what? I hate to tell you this. Sometimes I'd rather call an addict than a church member. Whew. Treading on dirty ground anyway. Why? Because an addict will show up and help you. Church member will pray for you. Amen. A lot of times we run into situations where the church was always thinking about doing something good. Somebody would be broke down on the interstate, 8 lanes of traffic, and guess what? Church people will drive by because they say, well, I don't want to get hurt, or I don't want to do this. They won't listen to the discernment of the Holy Spirit, but a man with an old pickup truck and a Budweiser sticker on the back of his truck will whip over, run across 8 lanes of traffic, jump the medium, change the tire, go back and drive home after a 12-hour shift. Some of y'all don't like the way I preach. I really don't care. I really don't. We need to stop and realize we need to be a church in action. We need to be a church without just words, without just messages, without just meetings. We need to be about God's business. How are we going to reach the lost of the lost? We keep saying we're the hands and feet of Christ, but we don't go nowhere and we don't touch nobody. Because if you do, you know what's going to happen if you do? Do you know what really is going to happen if you do? You're going to want to touch another one and another one. That's a real problem. It ain't because that you're afraid that God's going to consume your whole life and you won't know who you are anymore. You've been identified your whole life as something else, but guess what? When God gets involved, next thing you know, you're going to be a different creature. You're going to be helping people because you can't help it. Somebody said, how'd you get into full-time ministry, preacher? I just went to help one person. I went under a bridge to tell one man about Jesus, and the next thing you know, I've been doing that my whole life. God's got a sense of humor, then He sent me into the church. Y'all must be really in trouble. The depressed. Ain't no depressed among us, are they? If you are, praise God, get a hold of Jesus. You want me to give you a recipe for depression? It's called the Book of Psalms. Read about every one of them. David starts out in utter depression, ends up in total praise most of the time. Here, I'll give you a little synopsis. Oh God, my enemies have gotten me surrounded. I'm failing. I'm dying. I'm losing. Oh, but God, You're so good. You're so faithful. Oh my God, I believe my enemy's on the run. I think I'm stronger than I've ever been. You're God, I'm not. Hallelujah, praise God. That's kind of how they all go. Because if you feel like you're surrounded and defeated, just start praising Him, despite of how you feel. Any mean-spirited? Whew. Have you ever seen anybody mean before that got saved and ain't mean no more? Whew. Praise God, I like that. I like that. Some people wouldn't even want to talk to you. Look at you. Get that mean, always mad. Get off my lawn. Get off my yard. Get out of here. Get saved and want you to come inside and have a sip. Amen. sit down and have a cup of coffee. Oh, you kids can run around my yard all you want. Amen? Everybody talks about they're mad at the church. All them hypocrites down at the church. They ain't mad at the church. They're mad at themselves. Amen? They're mad at themselves. All them I used to say the same thing. Man, every time I come to the house, God, I didn't have a problem with the people. I had a problem with the Word of God. I'd come in here, next thing you know, it's hit me right between the running lights, and I was sitting there going, man, I got to get out of here, and I got to have an excuse of why I do. Let's get this last one out of the way, and I got an example. Even the church member who attends for every reason but the right reason. Whew. You ever seen God change somebody that's been coming to church their whole life and never had Jesus? I remember having a revival, camp meeting revival down in Georgia one time. And the meeting kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. There probably wasn't but 35 people there. And I kept thinking, Lord, what are you doing? One person would testify, somebody would sing. Somebody would testify, somebody would preach, and then somebody would sing. And I sat there going, Lord, everybody's saved! By that time, a little old girl walked from the back, come to the altar, starts praying. I said, sis, what are you praying about? She'd been in my discipleship class. She was a Sunday school teacher for about 15 years, called Awana, and was a leader in our church. And I said, golly, you're doing such a good job. Who are you praying for? She said, I'm praying for myself. I'm not saved. And I sat here this whole service, and God's been dealing with me. And He wouldn't let none of us leave until He saved me. God can save a church member. I was a Baptist before I got saved. Can I give y'all one example before I close? There was a man named Zacchaeus in the Bible. It said he was a publican, tax collector. He was rich. I've never preached Zacchaeus where I've seen people come to the altar and get saved, ever. You know why? Because Zacchaeus is more like people are today than any other person in the Bible. I mean, you'll get people come, blind Bartimaeus, the withered man, Lazarus in the tomb, people, I can identify, but nobody wants to identify with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man who had a good job. He had messed some people over, and he was rich. And everybody seen him thought he was doing pretty good. Amen? You ever done that? Have you ever fooled everybody? Is there anybody in here that ever fooled everybody? Has anybody in here ever been to a situation where everybody looked at you and thought you was doing okay? I have. I used to try to act like I was cool and had it all together. And on the inside, I was a ragged mess. In the South, I guess we'd call that a hot mess, right? See, Zacchaeus was a hot mess. And he's sitting there going, man, everybody thinks I got it all together. I got power, I got influence, I got money, I got everything I need. But then somebody whispered and said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Now listen, everybody, hey, get the lame out there, get the sick out there, get the deprived out there, get the ones that are lost out there. And Zacchaeus is looking around going, I'm short, man, but I need him. I can't tell nobody that I need him, but I need him. Amen? So Zacchaeus starts looking around. You know what he sees? A tree. A stinking tree. What does a tree have to do with a man's salvation? What in the world does a tree have to do with your salvation? Everything. Everything. Because there was a tree that was planted. There was a tree that grew. There was a tree that was growing when Zacchaeus was doing what he wanted to do. There was a tree there when the day came when he wanted to see Jesus. That tree was growing The same way his life was growing, and one day he didn't even realize it, but there was a tree there for him. And there was a man coming named Jesus who was going to come by that tree and see him hanging on that tree. Say, Zacchaeus, come down from there. Amen. I need to see you. Amen. And Zacchaeus made haste and come down from that tree. But one day that same Jesus got on a tree 2,000 years ago. A tree that was designed and made for you while you were yet an enemy of Jesus. And that tree's been there your whole life. That tree's been there your whole life. So whenever you want to see Jesus, amen? And whenever you want Jesus to see you, you need to get to a tree called Calvary. And you need to fall down at that tree and say, God, look inside this man. God, look inside this woman and change who I am. See, Zacchaeus, I love that story about how he climbed that tree because he got into a place where Jesus could see him. Amen. But he also got into that place where he could see Jesus. I'm going to go one step further in this message as we all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Scott, come on, hurry up. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I'm going to ask you a question right here as we close. See, Zacchaeus did something. After he came to the tree, and after Jesus came to be a part of his life, you know what he did? He started making some things right to everybody that he messed over and everybody that he had done wrong. He went and made some things right. Amen? See, salvation, there's evidence of it. After you get saved, you start trying to make some stuff right. Let me ask you this. You've told people you're saved. You've told God's in your life. But have you ever made some stuff right? Is there any evidence of your salvation? Is there any evidence that what you're telling people happened really did happen? I hope so. I hope so. If not, there's a place up here to pray. There's a place to seek Him. And this word, I know it's cut. Cut deeper than you wanted it to cut. It separated that physical man, that man you put out there for everybody to see. Clean. Smart, says all the right things. There's that spiritual man that's been yearning for the real thing. And you say, how do you know about that, preacher? Because since I was 8 years old, there was a spiritual man inside of me that I knew I needed Jesus. But I snuffed him down until I was 30 years old. You don't have to do that. I'll be right here if anybody wants